Hello everyone, welcome to the PC Gamer Podcast. My name is Tim Edwards, I'm the editor of PC Gamer, and because we've got so much to get through in this podcast, it's insane. I'm going to introduce everyone very quickly. We have Rich, who's our staff writer.
Hello.
We have Graham, who's our deputy editor.
Hello.
And Craig, who is our news editor.
Hello. Oh god, that was scary.
That was very scary. Okay, so our new issue is on sale right about now, and the cover is obviously StarCraft 2, because you've all seen it and gone on, run out and bought it. And we have an amazing picture of Kerrigan, actually, who... I just, like, is she hot? I don't know. Graham, would
if,
you?
If you had to,
no.
You know.
I think I'd cut myself, wouldn't I?
She looks a bit pointy.
Well, I think she's kind
she's
of
the
hot.
Most attractive one of them I've ever seen, whatever she is.
But so we've been talking to the lead designers of StarCraft and about the beta and the single player stuff. And it's quite interesting because one of the things that comes out of it more than anything else is that they seem to be a little bit nervous about the reception of the beta. Mm. That's fair.
Well, Chris Sigerty, the producer that I spoke to, said obviously the first thing he kind of told me was that the beta isn't the game, and it's not the game in any way. They've got so much more to add to it, and he pushed the kind of the single player aspect that they're going to bring to it. But the beta is basically out there entirely just to do the multiplayer and to make sure the matchmaking works as well, which I think people may not have realised, is that it's much more about Battle.net and trying to make things work.
Because the comments that I've seen a lot of people make is that they've gone in to play StarCraft expecting kind of a fun time, and then they've had their face kicked off, and it's put a lot of people off. And I think that's sad, but simultaneously quite funny.
Yeah.
Because it's like they put a demo, people's treating it as a demo. They've gone in there, and it's the worst experience you can probably have of an RTS game, is playing people who love StarCraft.
There's a lot of face kickers online who will just kick faces.
I mean, I've had my face kicked off so hard that it's actually kind of rotated back all the way around.
Yeah. Is that because it's a beta and it's not everyone's got access to it?
Kind of. I think it's partly because, you know, the people who most want to play this are massive StarCraft 2 fans. And the people who have continued to play it are those StarCraft 2 fans. Now, because I don't think they've opened up the beta that clearly or that openly, there's still a lot of people who are, you know, going into it, going, oh, I'll just try it out now, three games in, and they haven't won a game, and every game they're losing because some dude is in their base killing their dudes. Mm. It's not fun.
They gave access to the people who are the best in the world, really. And then
they gave it to me.
Exactly. And us, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the novice maps have rocks on. You do 10 novice maps before you play the kind of the matchmaking properly, and they have rocks on, which means that you can't walk people right up to the base. You can't be rushed immediately. But what it does mean in all the games that I've played is that you just get rushed by battle cruisers or some other ridiculous unit, like late game unit, and you can't beat them unless you've spent that previous 20 minutes just doing everything perfectly as well.
So. This is why I play games with crosshairs. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing to say about it, though, is that as you play it, you start learning shit very, very, very quickly. And I was playing with a friend of PC Gamers, Owen, who works on PSM3, last night, and just trying to explain to him that, you know, you maybe not need to mine gas early, and you can actually get some decent units up just by using the crystals. Craig's just kind of glazing.
That's fine.
And it was like a revelation to him. And, you know, so seeing replays of what people are doing and seeing kind of how everyone's playing it. I'll tell you what, though, the community scene in it is developing so quickly. It's unbelievably fast. And I was like, if you look at the Team Liquid stuff or any of the other StarCraft fan sites, the amount of organisation going and big games being kind of played and shoutcasted and the rest of it, it's so exciting. And everything you wanted from a cybersport but thought only Korea could have, that's taking place in the West for StarCraft 2. It's just brilliant. I'm really excited about it.
It is generally quite fun, probably more fun than StarCraft as well, spectator sport, because it's obvious. I think it's more obvious when you look at it, what's happening and who's beating who, rather than maybe looked a bit arcane watching a game from 1997. Yeah. And now you see if something's exploding, you know why it's exploding, and that's always fun to watch.
Does it have a score on it at any point? Because that's what they kind of need for spectators, like 1-0, 2-0, or 2,300 to 2,200.
Well, they have a lot of stuff that shows like what people are producing. So there's overlays that anyone who's shoutcasting can bring up to say, these are the units that's being produced. This is how their economy is ticking over. So you can see that kind of comparative.
Because I tried watching that. Like I say, I was watching that element of, this could have been a sport if it had a score. You know, I would have understood it then, I think.
Yeah, some of the games we've seen have been so kind of back and forth, even to the point where the person who is going to lose wins, and the person who's going to win loses.
Well, having said that, it seems like it's better than sports, because, you know, 2-0 up in a football game, you know who's going to win.
Yeah. Well, in StarCraft, it's over within kind of 15, 20 minutes anyway. But I just love it. Sorry, my phone is completely crapping out, so I don't know whether we're actually going to be able to do Twitter questions.
I've got mine.
Okay, fine. I'll turn it off.
I've got Android.
The other big news in the podcast, in the issue, rather, is the Doctor Who game, which I'm, like, just so giggly about. For those who haven't got the issue, we are basically announcing that the BBC are bringing 4 free episodic adventure games written by the series producers to PC only. And they've kind of come to PC Game and say, hey, you should probably tell your readers about this. Oh, I think that's really cool.
And development is being headed up by Charles Cecil, famous for the Broken Sword series of games.
So when I first heard about this, and we, the kind of PRs and responsible, got into contact, he was being really coy about it. And he's like saying, so it's, you know, it's a classic British developer making something that's really British. Like, so I don't know, maybe it's the Gollops coming back or something like that. And then when he told me, I literally put my arms up in the air and just went, yes!
He did.
So we've got all the kind of screens and shit in the issue. And it's just brilliant because, like, there's interviews with Stephen Moffat and Karen Gillan as well, who is, like, quite cute. And you get to play with her, which is...
Stop now.
Stop now. but it's just brilliant. And there's, like, so some of the screenshots, we've had to be quite careful in the ones we select because they've been very, very, very concerned about series spoilers. But I think there are still some series spoilers in there. So if you want to know about the Dalek return to Doctor Who...
don't listen to what Tim just said.
Don't ever listen to anything in PC Gamer. So yeah, that's so cool though.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, yeah.
How are the games going to be playable? Are they playable in a browser or are you going to download them from the BBC website?
They're so fully fledged games that are downloaded from the BBC site.
Okay.
So they're not browser games. I think it's interesting that they're PC only, because it's one of the advantages of being a PC, if you read into it a little bit further, is that if they'd have done this stuff on the Wii or the Xbox or the PlayStation, then they wouldn't have been able to release them for free because they are license fee funded. They kind of have to be released for free. But also, you know, they would have had to punt out some of the costs to Microsoft and Sony as well. And this is the great thing about the PC itself, is that as an open platform, anyone can just kind of hop on board and make games for us. And it turns out the BBC, you know, the British fucking Broadcasting Corporation, has decided to become a PC game developer.
BBFC?
The BBFC. There's someone different.
BFB.
It's Battlefield.
So yeah, it's just like, oh God.
I wasn't, I mean, I hadn't enjoyed Doctor Who until the latest episodes, and then it's brilliant, so I'm now kind of excited.
Yeah.
You know.
How does it slot into, are the episodes on their own account, or are they going to be kind of slotting into existing episodes? Or
the way they say it is that they are getting the same treatment in the Doctor Who continuity as if there is, like, a Doctor Who continuity anymore, that all the other episodes of the TV show are getting. So there are, I think, I don't quote the numbers, but there are like 9 TV episodes being produced, I think, maybe more, maybe less. But then there are 4 free episodic ones, 3 of which will be out. And this is the proper crazy stuff, is that they will be out within the next TV series. 3 of these episodes will be out in this TV series, and then they're putting out another 4th game that's further out.
Which is designed to bridge the gap, isn't it, between the seasons?
So they're pretty much, like, done. That's the crazy thing, is like they're ready to go. They're waiting for their gap in the kind of TV scheduling to hit. And then they'll be here, and they'll be free.
Just give it to us.
And everyone should play them. Yeah, we should see if we can get them on the cover disc, actually. Yeah. I wonder if we can do that.
Disney, why not?
Yeah, we'll talk to them. We'll talk to our mates at the Beeb. You
know. I'll call Karen.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the crazy thing is that Kieran went to see it for us, obviously, because he's Mr. Sci-Fi nerd, really, isn't he? With his comics chip and stuff like that. And so Kieran Gillan meets Karen Gillan is just the box out title waiting to happen. So yeah, did anyone here actually see the new TV series?
I haven't yet seen it.
All the rest of us have, though.
I want to cover my ears now for spoilers.
We all thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah,
yeah. And like Craig, I'm not someone who's normally enjoyed Doctor Who, but I thought it was really good fun.
I like it a lot. I'm just such a nerd for that stuff, anyway.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's 2 of our enormously big things to cover. Obviously, there's 6 pages on it in the new issue. It's really exciting. I can't wait to play it. Quick! So
can someone calm down? Down.
I want to talk a bit about what we've been playing, because it's been the Easter weekend, and a lot of us have had some spare time to actually play some games. So, Craig, what have you been playing?
I recently played Splinter Cell Conviction,
which is you've just reviewed.
Yes, and it's awesome.
It is really good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's surprisingly good. After the last Splinter Cell, I wasn't that excited about it. For Tom and I, Splinter Cell both stopped at like Chaos Theory. And we were kind of a bit, is this going to be good? And then obviously did the crazy, we've redesigned it again, we've done all this crazy shit. And it turns out they've just turned it into the Bourne Identity. You know, it's just crazy. Sam's kind of action-packed now. He doesn't do anything by halves. He doesn't, like, sneak around. Well, he does sneak around in the dark, but then he comes out the dark and breaks someone's neck or shoots him five times.
Is he as sinister as he used to be?
He was never sinister. That's the thing.
Oh, he was always sinister.
No, you think he was. I mean, he was funny, because in Chaos Theory, you take someone hostage and say, you know, I'm going to kill you if you say the word monkey. Which to me, actually, now I say it is a bit sinister.
So spandex was the most sinister thing about it, though.
They've dehumoured the games, right. Which I would like I'd like a game series to actually get funnier as it goes along.
Yeah.
You know, Splinter Cell has kind of got a bit more serious, but there's a reason for that, and that, you know, in the previous game his daughter kind of died, and in this game it turns out she's not dead and she's been held somewhere. And
Sam's out to try and find it. At that point, that's the excuse to kind of bring the clowns in.
Yeah, bring the clothes in. Sam, your daughter's alive.
Parade.
But they've used that as an excuse to what's the word? Unfettle him. He goes mad. You know, right. He genuinely goes fucking insane on everyone. He doesn't stop. He smashes a man's face into a toilet bowl.
He's a man with nothing to lose.
He stabs someone to a tree. He is a man with nothing to lose. And they've actually used that as an excuse to sharpen up his movement, his technique and all that kind of stuff. You know, before he was never a killing machine. And now it's just like you can't fucking stop killing people.
Okay. How would some non... Like, I haven't played many of the Splinter Cell games to any extent. But I was looking at this because it looked like the Splinter Cell that wasn't, like, I really hate standing around in the dark.
Yeah, it doesn't punish you in the way that other Splinter Cells did.
Right.
So there's no ridiculous, you can only kill a certain amount of people. There's no, they just set off three alarms, you're in trouble now. It's just, you're in the dark, there's people over there you can kill. Here's a lot of really cool ways to do it.
Okay.
It sounds more like Batman Arkham Asylum's version of stealth. Mm-hmm. Where you're kind of just hovering above people and...
It's a kind of a mixture of that. It's also, you're still a little bit out of control when shit happens. You know, Batman, you always felt like you could beat people up, mm-hmm. whereas so you kind of still want to get away from people.
Right.
But if you get caught, you know, he pulls out a gun and just kills someone straight away and, you know, it's like, fuck. Yeah, that never happened before.
In Batman, you've always got an escape route, which is kind of...
Yeah. Just grapple up, yeah.
And then you'll...
Yeah, and this, the escape route is mostly killing people and then running away.
Right, okay.
You know.
That's always my escape.
Yeah, it's a really, really great, fun game. They've taken some risks with the series because a lot of people... I talked to Martin, who's played it for Edge, and he actually played it very stealthily. He still could play it stealthily, whereas I was enjoying the fact that I wasn't needing to be stealthy anymore because being forced to play a game in one way always annoys me greatly.
Sure.
You know, so it's less third dimensions. You can't climb up to a lot of places. You can't do the crazy splits above people and shoot and stuff like that, but you can like drag people through windows and kill them like that, you know.
Do you find yourself falling into the same pattern of how you approach each situation?
A little bit. I was spending a lot of time, I started off spending a lot of time hiding behind walls, shooting out lights.
Right.
And he can do that very accurately. It's ridiculous how accurate it is from behind a wall. You know, he can't even fucking see
well,
it. Well,
very small walls are the thing that gives all players.
So I started doing that, and then I realised that I was falling into that pattern, so I decided to shake it up and like make a lot of noise, in which case I realised that the guards are absolute bastards.
Right.
Before, again, they would... So I said the guards were humorous. You would like make a noise and they'd go, what's that noise going over there? You could almost see the cogs where I'm going, no, I'm going to investigate this now. Now if you do that, they're just like, is that you, Fisher? I'm going to kill you, motherfucker, like we killed your daughter. But they don't stop.
Except didn't really.
They don't stop searching for the whole level. You know, once you tip your hat, you're in trouble.
Okay.
You have to. Then you spend a lot of time panicking, hiding, doing that crazy sort of, you know, I call it motherfucking stealth rather than stealth, you know, where, you know, the thing is you're hiding but killing everyone at the same time, you know. It's great fun, you know.
So it turns out we've got the world's first review of Splinter Cell, and you can read it in the mag. That's good, isn't it?
Mm.
PC Gaming gets everything. I just can't actually wait to play it. Like
I hope the servers are up, you know, because it really does deserve.
This is the thing, isn't it? Is that we're so excited about this game. We think it's brilliant. And then the Ubisoft train comes driving through.
The DRM.
Yeah. Here comes the DRM bus. Yeah.
And it's got great co-op as well, which basically doubles that sort of excitement that you feel when you're a single player. And it's hilarious as well.
Cool.
You know, because nothing funnier than watching than trying something really elaborate and stealthy, and then just watching your friend barrel through, you can barge through doors with your shoulders. You know,
I'm assuming it's 2-player only co-op.
Yeah.
Does it have like a competitive multiplayer bit to it?
Before it had spies versus mercs.
Right.
It had two different types of game. This one, it's actually competitive, but co-op at the same time.
Right.
In that you're in the same arenas with the person you're fighting against who would have been your co-op partner. And I think you've got to... I didn't get much of a chance to play it, so I think you've got to attack them, but you've also got guards in there at the same time.
Right.
And they're AI. So okay. you're basically what you're trying to do is guide the person into a trap set, but because you've got guards around you or whatever. You know, it's a very strange thing.
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to quantify.
Yeah. Okay. No, I want to play that with you.
Yeah, it's great fun. Everyone should play it.
Do you think it's... like Splinter Cell has always worked on the Xbox really well. It's like a poster child Xbox game.
I couldn't play this as well on the Xbox. I mean, I had to go on the Xbox eventually, but the accuracy with the pistol now is a really important thing. Before, it was never accurate, so it didn't matter that you were using a mouse or a keyboard compared to a controller. This is fucking super accurate, so you really need to be able to pot the lights.
Because that's interesting, because I've been playing Brothers in Arms over the weekend, and I started it, so Hell's Hell Highway, which is the third one, and I started it on the 360 because I got a copy of it. But I've gone back to playing it on the PC. And it's just such a more fun game on PC. Because like, you spend so long trying to line up your sights on the...
Yeah.
You know, when you're trying to snipe someone with a rifle or something. And on the PC, it's just like point click, brilliant, slow motion. which is brilliant. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
And because you played Brothers in Arms, you reviewed it for us, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
It's really good.
It is really good.
It saddens me that it hasn't become more popular.
I think it's genuinely, I stopped playing after 10 minutes because of that fucking cutscene. The opening cutscene.
Yeah.
I was just screaming at the machine.
It does go on a little bit.
It is. I mean, the thing that struck me was that it's stubbornly small scale. Like, it feels like you play the Call of Duty games from the first one through to the sixth one, which is up to now, and it escalates, it becomes more like an action movie, it's more extreme, whereas Brothers in Arms is essentially just still the same group of men hiding behind hedges
in fields.
Fields, and that's like the third game's the same as the second game is the same as the first game, and it's like they're very committed to just telling this quite small story of its characters, and that story's becoming sillier with the supernatural stuff that's going on in the third game, but the actual action isn't escalating at all. It's still just World War II, hedging a farm.
I remember when everyone loaded it up, it's like, where's the co-op though?
Yeah, because originally it was supposed
and
to have
it
co-op.
Co-op in the options as well. There's options for co-op stuff. They've just cut it off completely.
Yeah, like a month beforehand, they announced that the co-op was being canned, essentially.
The suppressing fire has never been used really properly in anything else. The little guy actually we have to pin someone down under a hedge by just shooting bullets near them.
Actually, what was that THQ co-op army game? You were never in control of people, really. You were just telling them where to shoot.
Oh, God.
Does it have hammer in the title?
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
That was bad.
No, it wasn't. It was fun playing co-op.
Was it?
We played it co-op and had a lot of fun.
Okay.
But no one ever plays it.
That did brilliantly. I went on to try...
Full Spectrum Warrior?
Yeah, Full Spectrum Warrior.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember what you mean. That was good, actually.
Yeah, and Dead Suppression. That was all it was, Suppression, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's almost what Brothers in Arms is. It kind of gets beyond that, having it just as suppression, just hiding people under hedges and stuff. But that's always fun when you can just tell a man to sit down because you're shooting near his head.
You know, I'm really surprised THQ haven't revived that for the kind of current market, particularly given Modern Warfare's massive popularity.
Don't give them
the
any ideas.
The company that made it, didn't they close down?
It was Pandemic. Yeah, because they were bought out by BioWare, or they kind of merged with BioWare, and then they were...
That still doesn't make any sense.
No, but then, see, that was that kind of like mad deal, wasn't it, where you have that thing where if you look back at the chess that video game companies play, there's always a dude in the centre that has some maniacal plan to make $1 billion, whatever, and I can't remember how it went, and this is probably massively libelous.
Yeah, I've heard the story. I don't know. Maybe she just back off right now.
Yeah.
So Brothers in Arms, eh?
Yeah, Brothers in Arms is brilliant. Everyone go, you probably get it for like £3 on Amazon or something.
It came out at the wrong time, though, didn't it? Because everyone was, the very tail end of everybody being sick of men dying in fields in World War II. Everyone
and didn't it hit the Modern Warfare train as well?
Yeah, it did. It came out the same month as like six other really big games. Mm. I think Modern Warfare 1 was one of them.
It's pretty anachronistic if you look at it now, but it's just fun. So
I will happily sit behind a hedge and be shot at for weeks and weeks. I actually really like what the core mechanic of Brothers in Arms is. I think it's just there's something about that that I really enjoy.
I remember feeling contradictory emotions when I saw it was like World War II and it's all being sad and then slow motion.
Yeah,
because look at that man's leg fly.
It looks really like it tries to be realistic and then it just goes like just batshit mental in its kind of explosions. Like when the grenades go off, they do a really good job of showing the force of it and like legs get ripped off. You know. This is heroism. Bang.
Did we ever figure out what the supernatural stuff was? Was it just him?
Ghost did it.
He's been, like, the main character's being haunted by
a gun.
By a gun that was used by the tall guy with the glasses who no one liked in the first game.
This is a game that had like a military advisor throughout the whole series. I've seen everything and been there.
So
haunted
in
guns.
Astonishingly realised Dutch villages, they've decided to kind of set a ghost story. Except it's like halfway between a ghost story and the main guy who you are going mad.
Yeah, you've got post-traumatic stress, essentially. Yeah. And this gun, which I think was given to you by your father, because your father used it in World War One or something like that. And you keep giving the gun to people, and whoever uses the gun seems to get killed. And so now everyone in the company is superstitious about this gun, and how it's haunted, and it's out bad luck, And you're seeing people who are dead and having conversations with them, but it's that's all fine because you can kind of dismiss it as being in the main character's head until there's a point in a kind of abandoned hospital where you round a corner into a corridor, and your view kind of warps in this Hitchcockian way, and a hospital bed at the end just falls over.
That is literally the best bit in the game.
No bomb has gone off. There has been no earthquake. It's just you're going insane, and yet somehow the bed falls over.
That the same thing happens in the movie The Shining, where the entire thing could be in Jack Nicholson's head if it wasn't for that little bolt on the door. It gets locked in and goes. That's the only supernatural thing that actually happens in that movie.
Look, if they do a sequel and they take it to Bastogne and there are ghosts in Bastogne, that will be the greatest game that has ever been created by any Texan-based game developer.
I'm convinced there will be another one. I know that
Brothers
in Arms 3 didn't...
That's what they should call it, Brothers in Hell, fantastic.
Hiding behind small walls in Satan's domain.
Brothers in the Hell, Arms Highway.
I know that Hell's Highway didn't meet their expectations, but that's because their expectations were enormously huge and ridiculous. It still sold like 1.5 million, I think, which is more than enough, I'm sure, to make their money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the third one sets up, the fourth one, they basically say, we're going to go to Slippy Slidey Ice World now.
Do you know what they should actually do? Is combine Borderlands with Brothers in Arms. And so you have all the characters from Brothers in Arms transported onto Pandora and have kind of crazy zombies and those, what they call those little kind of insect...
Skags.
Matt Baker versus the Skags. It'd be amazing.
That would be amazing. It would be very stupid, but I would really enjoy playing that game. So.
Yeah, anything mashed up is good.
Yeah.
Okay, talking of stupidity, Just Cause 2.
Yeah, speaking of slow motion stupidity as well.
Yeah. I can't believe how much people are getting out of that game. Like, I didn't like the first one. I thought it was stupid.
I liked the first one quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
So, you've been playing it a lot, Graham.
Yeah, I think me and Craig have been playing a lot.
I looked at
Tom
I looked at my time. I've 27 hours in, 11% complete.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's just because you're right. It's what people get out of it is kind of the important thing here.
Yeah, it's a toy, not a game. I mean, I've done some of the missions, like 4 or 5 of them or something, and there's like 60 or 70 of in the main kind of line. They're just not that interesting. What's interesting is just exploring this incredibly beautiful world, the dozens of vehicles, planes, helicopters, cars, tying stuff together, and then just experimenting to see what you can do. And I think we're all playing it with various combinations of mods as well.
Yeah.
So Tom suggested that you make yourself invulnerable.
Yeah, that's how I'm playing it.
I suggest you play it on very easy, or whatever it was, casual.
Okay.
Play it on casual. Eventually, I ended up modding it so the ammo is infinite, because it does a very strange thing with the ammo that I still really don't understand. There's not any ammo pickups in the game, it doesn't seem like. Is that true?
There are crates,
but they're for weapons.
Yeah, you get weapon parts for your crates, and you get crates where you can pick up specific weapons, but you can't just walk over a gun of the same type you're carrying and pick up the ammo that's in it.
That sounds like a system that made perfect sense in the designer's head.
There's a lot of stuff like that. Like, the ropes break really easily.
Yeah.
And the fun of the game is roping things together.
But so someone's made something called Bolo Patch, which is essentially, it's not really a mod. It's a trainer that you run after you've launched Just Cause 2, and then it's just checkboxes that you can turn. And you can just tick the checkboxes on and off as you please. Yeah. And so you've got, I've got infinite health on, I've got infinite ammo on, I've got multiple ropes on so I can tether more than two things together. I've got unbreakable ropes on.
Right.
And, you know, so I can...
So presumably, like, your PC can handle all these extra kind of shit being roped together.
Well, it's tiny. Yeah, it doesn't seem to have any impact on it whatsoever.
Tom was saying he managed to get about kind of 8 or 9 cars on the back of his jumbo jet before the game started going, not so sure about this.
But then that's more of a... Yeah, I think that's more of a physics thing, you know, because obviously not built to do that. But that's where the fun comes in there.
So why do you think, then, that they didn't make the game like that? Why did they make the decision to make the ropes really easily?
I think with Rope Strong, is what we've called it in the office, there are certain parts of the games, like certain missions, where if you just had an infinitely strong rope, it'd become far too easy.
Right.
You just choo-choo, and that's an entire car is gone by that point, you know?
Yeah, if you come up against 8 guys, say, or 6 guys or something, you can only tailor one of them at a time, then that's much more difficult than at the moment where I can just tether any of them to a wall and just leave them there. Because normally what happens, you tether someone to a wall, they get fall over, they get back up, and then they detach themselves.
Right.
But it's unbreakable. And so I can just have 8 guys all stood there tied to a wall, just trying to get this rope off that they can never break. And so, you know, it does make it much easier. But I don't care, because I'm not there for the challenge and I'm not there for the missions. I'm just there to experiment and say, you know, ooh, what happens when I tie this guy to a plane?
If they're smart, they'll do what, was it Crackdown did, where they released a patch that just let you cheat, you know, ultimately. It didn't let you advance, but just said, here's everything you can do.
But one that I wanted to see, the mod that I really wanted to see, was the infinite rope patch, where if you looked at a mountain, press the rope button, you'd spend 10 minutes roping yourself towards that mountain.
It's only fun for a limited amount of time. Yeah.
I just love the idea of just being hovering in midair for like 3 miles while you pull yourself towards a mountain that's miles away.
Someone's now made that mod, and so I'm now playing the game with that mod as well.
So whatever you see, you can...
There are limits to it. I think the limit is like 3 kilometers or something like that. Because the engine—that's
a lot of rope to carry around. Yeah. To be fair,
the thing is that anything beyond that point, you can still see it, but the engine isn't really rendering it properly. So your rope goes off into nothingness, and you have to fire it again. But yeah, I've got that on, and also I'm using something called Cheat Engine, which is just like a generic cheat program that lets you kind of hack binaries and hex editors.
I think
what
Bullpatch is made from is actually Cheat Engine.
Okay, but you can use that essentially to make any game you want slow motion. So I've just got I've got keys bound on my keyboard now that I can just press and it goes to 1/5 normal speed. So when cool explosions are happening, I can just press the button and everyone's flying about in physics and slow motion and stuff like that.
I'd really hate to be playing this game on the Xbox.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, the best thing that happened to Just Cause 2 was them releasing a PC demo, because all the stuff that these people were making started off in the demo, because they stupidly limited it. They said you can't go outside this area, the rope strong thing, the multiple ropes thing as well, and people just said, well, we want this stuff, you know, let's make it. And
so, but it sounds like if they'd have released the entire area without a time limit, no one would have bought that game at all.
No.
Well, I mean... The other part of the fun is the stuff you find in the world. So while I'm doing all this, I do have a bubble gun, you know, which doesn't do any damage to anyone, but just looks really pretty. So I've got that. There's a hot air balloon that Craig found that we were chilling around.
That was the thing. I mean, I want games to have me start out at point A and point B, and then when I'm going there, I go, ooh, what's that over there? And that happened. I was like flying across in this amazing little jet they have, just sort of spinning through the air, just trying to get to an island I wanted to get to. And then suddenly this colour of explosion below me, I was like, what the hell is that? And it's like a hot air balloon.
Awesome.
And of course, you know, we start playing with hot air balloon. Graham had it tied to a helicopter at one point. I had it tied to a boat. Just running around, dragging this hot air balloon with my boat. And it makes you just really, really want co-op.
Do you find in that kind of game where you're being constantly distracted that you feel when you come to finish playing it that you haven't really achieved anything?
Well, that's what I'm wanting to achieve, though. I mean, I'm really... I don't care about the missions that much, you know. I'm there just to be amazed at what's going on in this world.
Yeah, I have issues with that along those lines, Tim. I think I would have a problem getting settling down for a 3-hour session and coming out of it with nothing more than, you know, I've tied this to this. But then again, thanks to not having Windows 7, I can't actually play it yet. So.
Well, I've been getting around that by making stuff of what I'm playing. So essentially, it was like Grand Theft Auto 4. We played in the office, four of us, multiplayer free-for-all. And then afterwards, we would edit our replays and have fun doing that. And so the sense of accomplishment or the sense of purpose was you were making videos. So I'm running Fraps at home.
Okay.
And I've just got a new PC, and I've got a 500 gigabyte hard drive, and 350 gigabytes of it are now filled with videos I've taken in Fraps, purely of Just Cause 2, because I'm, you know, filming it 1920 by 1200. It's so high res. And so that's what I'm doing. So, you know, anytime, like, I'm dragging a helicopter, hot air balloon with a helicopter
to a... You're recording in high res on that PC?
Yep, and it doesn't stutter at all. It runs at 30 frames per second.
That was the 500 quid PC we've got in the new issue.
Yep.
That's incredible.
The Ultra Triton SE.
Are you using the Fraps recording everything 30 seconds upon?
No, I'm not. I'm actually just pressing F9 and just leaving it running.
Fraps does that now as well.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But yeah, so I'm doing that. And so essentially, I every day I go and I find a new mod and I think, ooh, I'll go try taking videos of this, see what fun things I can record. And so, like, last night was the slow motion stuff. I've got, you know, 150 gigabytes of movies of me doing slow motion explosions and fighting on a roof and stuff.
Yeah, I've been making videos not of stuff that the mods do, just stuff that I can do with Rico. So what I did was I went to the airport and stood on the runway, and I was just taking videos of the planes just taking up over my head.
Awesome.
Which is just great. And
can you put together some stuff for the blog?
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Speaking of the airport, the Infinite Grapple mod has interesting side effects when you grapple on, well, when you try to tie vehicles to scenery.
Oh yeah, they go mental. It's great.
Yeah, the physics basically flips out. So essentially, a plane just slowly taxiing towards the runway, and you can just tether it to a beach, you know, 500 meters away, and it flips out and flies up through the air, and then you can turn on slow motion and watch it explode beautifully and stuff like that.
So the one video I saw with the two planes, when you kind of take off one jumbo jet and another one next to it, and they kind of would arc through the air together, both flying at the same time around each other in some beautiful sky ballet.
And this is all without doing any missions.
Games are stupid, aren't they? Like, yeah. I think it's sad that they had to put that structure of missions onto something that is actually that impressive and that crazy.
Like, I actually have enjoyed the missions, you know, but I can honestly see why they have that, because you have to show stuff in the videos that, you know, you have to have people going, ah, I will kill you now, and have to have crazy foreign accents and all that kind of stuff. You know, you can't, as much as but the world's there anyway, you know, so it's for, I'm guessing people get more out of it by having, like, me playing the world and someone else go off and do the missions. You know, the fact that it both exists in the same space is pretty amazing.
You know, one thing doesn't necessarily negate the other.
No, exactly, you know.
It seems like they spend a lot of time on little things people won't necessarily find straight away. I mean, the hot air balloon, obviously.
That's why I was so excited about it, because, you know, that's every time I play games and every time that happens and I go for a little adventure and I go and see what's that, and it's always something disappointing. I find a fucking hot air balloon.
There's a beached whale as well that I've seen a couple of videos.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Rich's been playing Battlefield Bad Company, which I believe is known BFBC, which is nice. So... You are playing as what class?
Generally medic. I feel weakened if I'm not being a medic, because just the ability to go up and fix other people, and it always get really frustrating when the rest of the team doesn't play as medics properly. Graham does, which is good. But I've played so many games where medics are just, because they've got the M60, which is a pointlessly good gun, big light machine gun that you look like Rambo when you're carrying, and these little men with berets and moustaches are sort of standing at the back firing these huge guns. And all these medics, I die next to them, and they're just standing over me. Oh, it frustrates me.
Is it actually running well? I mean, I've played it a bit, and I struggle a bit with the server browser.
Yeah, the front end is horrible, and whatever decisions they've made there are entirely wrong.
Okay.
And friends have been deleted on me. I've had my friends reset loads of times. I mean, people are aware of this, but it's just that I don't see how they can really get away with it after they've released the game. And then I've tried to set the PC gamer server as a favourite repeatedly, and it keeps disappearing. And then,
to be honest, that's probably our fault.
No, no, no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
I mean, if you do like kind of a straw poll around the office of people who can actually play it properly, I mean, I can get the server browser working, but Play Now never works. Graham, I think you said you can get Play Now working occasionally, but...
I never press that button anyway because it's just frustrating.
But it just seems to be entirely random as to what will be working that day. But as soon as you get into the game, that's it. I'm hooked for the rest of the day pretty much. I spend days thinking about it.
I like guns. Hmm. I like men's with guns.
The thing is, as well, that they've got kind of... Like, the M60 is a big problem because...
it's not. I love the M60.
It's a great problem if you play a medic, but I think the whole point about... Like, the assault class and the recon class are good examples because the recon class, for example, you start with the M24, which is a single-shot sniper rifle that kills in one or two shots. Right. The next one you get is, like, a really kind of quick-firing, less accurate sniper rifle. And that goes on that kind of manner. You get one that's got a very small clip, but it's really powerful. One with a bigger clip, less powerful, quite accurate. And they mix it up and people play depending on the style. And that's right. What I like the most about it is being able to tailor your class depending on whether you want to be a killie sniper or whatever. But with the medic, they basically ruined that by just having him an M60 and then anyone.
So what are the alternate guns for medics then?
You've got a really...
I love that medics like have an alternate gun. Yeah. It kind of goes against the name of the class.
You get kind of a quick firing... less accurate super clipped one and kind of, but the M60 is just pointlessly.
Do you start off with the M60?
No, it's fourth, like the unlock.
Yeah,
or third.
I love the gun. The only problem with it for me is that I've unlocked 3-4 other weapons since then and none of them come close to being as good to the M60. And so I've kind of lost that compulsion to unlock the next gun because it's like it's not going to be as good as the M60 though.
I don't really understand why they put a automatic sniper rifle in the hands of a medic.
That was the recon, which gets the automatic sniper rifle was their second. It's just it's a semi-automatic. Is it semi-automatic?
No,
or
it's
just automatic.
Fully automatic. Yeah.
Fully automatic machine gun.
But it's got the basically if you can aim it right, it's as good as a sniper rifle. If you shoot across the map, you'll hit someone and you'll probably hit them in the head as well. So it's always worth using. But when you get to play, the way I always play the medic, because you get three extra slots that you can fill with stuff. The last one's always a vehicle slot, so you can increase your vehicle armor or your vehicle weapons. But the other two slots are things like more grenades, or in the medic's case, bigger healing radius for his healy boxes. And then the second slot's always things like better bullets or something like that. And I always like to use the extra healy, get healy boxes quicker as well. So I'm just some kind of amazing doctor running around chucking things at people. Whereas
who can kill from 2 miles away.
Yeah, so it's quite useful.
Badass doctor.
Mm.
Yeah, I was half enjoying it, but then I started getting killed from miles away.
It depends. You can have,
blame you, Rich.
Yeah, you can have amazing games on servers, but you can also have three or four games in a row where you feel like you've done nothing. Yeah. And the other team just beats you.
I haven't played enough in the squad with my friends. That's part of the problem. It's just the random elements a bit much.
I was playing with Jim a couple of nights ago, and being on TeamSpeak with him and kind of coordinating was just amazing, actually. And being able to cover each other, shout out when you could see your mate was in danger. It's just so cool.
It's always... I think it's definitely worth having a headset and communicating with your squad with.
It's supposed to have voice comm through the game where you can communicate with the people in your squad, but it doesn't seem to work,
does it?
Yeah,
like WoW has that, and it's just hopeless.
I don't understand why it's difficult or why they couldn't just license something that does work.
It worked when I played APB a little while ago. That was quite surprising.
Okay.
So you went to see APB, didn't you?
Yeah, we're not allowed. It's not for the next issue, though.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Well, we'll hold off on
that. But I'm just saying that worked.
Okay. Did it have good shooty men's?
Yep.
Not allowed to say.
No, not allowed to say.
Cool. So one of the things I want to talk about a little bit is laptops, because I want to buy a laptop, actually, and I'm looking at buying a tiny little Alienware thing. Like, have you seen those little Alienwares?
Yeah.
Oh, I want one so bad.
Did we actually get one of those in the office?
Adam's got it already. Reviewing it, where reviewing is just like...
Hugging
keeping
it, holding it and hugging it and touching it in inappropriate places.
But eventually you'll write some words about it and get it on the mic. Whereas if you had it, all that would happen without any words.
That is true. It struck me that like they've basically put a really good GeForce and like a quad core processor and 4 gigs of RAM into something inside of a netbook. Like, it probably should be the other way around, in that surely like games should actually be running on a netbook. Does that like rather than trying to retrofit these ridiculously high-spec PCs into something you can carry around, why not make some games that are actually work on a laptop?
Because they're not as pretty.
Oh, don't use sense to
the games
to
are
ruin
too pretty.
Point.
But there are some great netbook games. But I think the laptop that I did for the feature last issue, where I had it for a week, and that was better than my desktop PC, and I still lament its loss to this day.
Have they taken that back?
They have now, yeah.
Oh, bastards. They always ask for it back. Damn them.
So is it the point as well, you think that they've clearly forgot about this now. There's no way they want this back, and then you get an email. Send it back.
I have to say, I've forgotten most of that feature. What did you play on it?
I played a lot of SUPCOM, actually. That was probably the most impressive one, the fact that going to that with high settings on everything. And Modern Warfare, and I played a bit of Napoleon as well. And that was, again, worryingly good, because it just seems that the specs you have on this tiny little box in front of you can make all these tiny men dance around and shoot them. And you put it back on the desktop PC and it's chugging and being really slow, and you have to turn the graphics settings down.
There's a bunch of stuff that Intel have sent over, actually, about Napoleon on laptops on the PC Gamer site, or in a subsection of the PC Gamer site. I think they did a bunch of optimization for laptop-specific stuff.
Yeah, Intel made optimization tools and stuff that they gave out to developers, and Creative Assembly seemed to be like their flagship company for doing this stuff, and so they've been doing it with the Total War games. I don't know if Napoleon was the first one they did it with. They might have done it with
Empire
as well, but it's supposed to be optimized to run on laptops in general, or Intel laptops, I'm not sure.
Okay. So if you are interested in the idea of games running on a laptop, have a look on the PC Gamer site. Shameless plug over. Right, can we do questions from Twitter? What I'm going to say now is I want to talk about the ending to Mass Effect 2. So after we've done questions from Twitter, there will be spoilers for the ending for Mass Effect 2, and we will flag them very severely.
You're good at reading these out. Crimson Year is the first one, and then do the scrolly up thing.
We will flag them severely as I leave the room.
But I'm determined to talk about this.
Can we quickly mention the PCs we've got reviewed in this next issue, before we do Twitter questions? We wanted to do high-end gaming PCs for £500 or less.
Yeah.
Did we go to companies and ask all of them, or just Cyberpower?
We asked three different companies to produce PCs for £500.
And the Cyberpower one, which is the main review, is the Ultra Triton SE. We got it in the office. Adam loved it. Once Adam was done reviewing it, borrowed it, took it home because my home PC was getting a bit rubbish and I needed to upgrade. So I thought, okay, I'll borrow this one until next month when I buy the parts and just upgrade my own machine. I ended up just buying the computer from them because I didn't want to give it up. I didn't want to send it back to them.
After I was in the office going, just buy it. We'll give you the money. Go on, just buy it.
You actually didn't shut up about this PC for...
It's a whimpering that got to me.
It's essentially my home PC is like 3 years out of date now. And stuff like Mass Effect 2 won't run, Just Cause 2 won't run, aside from the fact I don't have Windows 7 or didn't have. You know, it just wouldn't have worked. And so I've been falling in love with mainstream PC gaming all over again, because all of a sudden I can play Just Cause 2, Bad Company 2, all these games over again. And, you know, just that PC is very nice and very cheap. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Did Cyberpower pay you to say that?
He did not, no. I didn't want to give it back to them, so I paid them lots of money to keep it.
Okay. Wow, you paid them, is it?
Okay, so questions from Twitter then. Crimson Ear says, what in God's name is TLBB, and why does it have pandas on your cover? This is the advert on the back.
Oh, it's
an
advert for Open Beta, isn't
it? Open Beta, yeah. Thought that was on the back of PC Gamer 213.
This sort of, I met the guys.
Right.
And this sort of advertising apparently works in China.
I think it's an amazing glimpse into a different culture of gaming, and I think we should celebrate it rather than take the piss. However, I do think she's shitting on the panda.
Yeah. But yeah. It's a free-to-play MMO, to answer your question.
It's a beat-em-up, isn't it?
It's a kung fu game, and it supposedly looks quite pretty. Didn't one of us go see it?
Well, I met them, and it's quite pretty.
Cool.
And I know that they're... The best thing I heard about that was in China, in their offices in Beijing, they have a floor where people who play the game can come in and complain directly to people who make the game.
NCSoft do that as well, they apparently.
They have booths that are behind glass screens. So
bulletproof glass.
And talk about their account where they've, you know, they kind of make complaints and the rest of it. But they actually have to, it's like a post office, but everything is behind, and so everything's behind glass. And
awesome. We do it all wrong here, don't we?
Yeah.
We hide from customer complaints. Yeah.
You just request them via Twitter.
Yeah. I hope there's a floor for the pandas as well at that time.
Pandas behind glass screens. Okay. Mersey Mal asks, are Remedy Entertainment dead to you too? Presumably this is about Alan Wake not coming out on PC.
Oh god.
But it will come out on PC.
It's going to come out on PC.
This may be an April Fool or whatever, but I heard one of the developers say it all exists on the PC. We've all got it somewhere.
It's made,
you know?
On the PC. That's the whole point. Games are made on the PC.
They don't want to throw it away. We just want to keep it.
It's basically
keep
just
it to ourselves.
They're a team of only 50 people, which is pretty damn small for a kind of AAA mainstream game when most of them are made by 150 to 200 people. And so they just say they don't have the resources to do multi-platform.
But then they're published by Microsoft, who certainly do, who just don't.
Yeah.
But this is a
Well, they're published by Microsoft. They're not owned or funded by Microsoft, or they're self-funding
the
game.
If they're published by Microsoft, they would have put forward the money to actually develop this and pay for the development.
They paid to keep it off other machines, you know? They've got something from them.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm not sure that it's actually been funded by Microsoft in its development. I wouldn't be surprised if Remedy wanted to keep it to themselves, because they'll get more of the profits and it frees them up, so they're not getting influence.
Yeah, I suppose we don't know either way, do we?
But yeah, it'll come to PC just 6 months to a year after it.
I'm fairly certain in the Xbox development kits they have like a giant lever that they just pull to shit out a PC conversion. I believe that's how it's done. Anyway. That's what I've heard. DSKUSE asks, how good will PCG Live be? And the answer to that is really fucking good.
12 good.
12 good. It's tomorrow night, isn't it?
It is.
Record it.
Well,
as we go out, it will probably be
tonight.
We've got upwards of 100 people coming to Gamer Base in Manchester. If your name is not on the list, unfortunately, you're not getting in, and you will not be privy to the amazing games that we've got coming.
Can we talk about that yet?
Have you got the codes through?
No.
Okay, we're having the first live play of something that we're not going to mention, hopefully. If it's not there, sorry. Tough shit, you didn't pay for anything. So the Play With Peace Gamer event is free. We just do it because we really like meeting you guys. And we should do another one soon.
Yeah, and there'll be World of Warcraft and Guild and Team Fortress to play and Modern Warfare and other games.
Yeah,
and
we're trying to get Bad Company working, but I'm not convinced we'll be able to sort it server-wise. But I literally can't wait to meet a bunch of people there, because they're a bunch of the guys I play WoW with every night, and actually seeing them in the flesh. It's weird, isn't it? Cause, like,
you're going to see them in the flesh for a minute, and then I'll move to your PCs and start playing with
them. See them over the monitor.
Yeah, so internet meetup, that's what it is.
Is this the only reason we're doing it?
Yeah, pretty much. Is when we decided to do this, I thought this would be a brilliant way to meet the WoW Guild. And so we did the other one, which has nothing to do with it. But now we've got like 25, 30 of the WoW Guild coming along. And there's like our raid leader as well. He's a really nice guy.
We should have invited
He's a physics teacher.
We should have invited all our Steam community, 24,000 members.
Well, we did invite them all.
That we should like just say there's going to be 24,000 spaces.
Okay. It's a lot of PZs to arrange.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, cool. So it's going to be fucking brilliant, and can't wait to see you. Godlike Steve asks, with the advent of oppressive DRM and publishers not giving a crap about consumers, is it time to buy an Xbox or PS3? God damn no. No, it's not.
There are plenty of games out there without DRM.
Yeah, just don't play the games with the DRM you don't like.
Yeah. Or play them and then bitch about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun as well.
Yeah. Or, I mean, like, you know, just don't live in Australia, it turns out.
Yeah.
It's weird that the entire continent's been cut off from playing the Settlers.
Too soon for them, though, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, so.
Never mind. I've lost my train of thought already.
Someone. Oh,
give it here. No, you're tapping the questions.
Yeah. It's much easier.
So what we've got?
It was something about.
Have you considered doing an iPad version of the Mag?
That would just be.
We need iPads to test on.
Yeah,
Apple.
If we could have some iPads though. If anyone wants to volunteer to get us some iPads, we will definitely test putting some PDFs in there.
we got loads of Twitter questions, by the way. What's the price structure likely to be for the Old Republic? You have to pay for it
with money.
With money, yeah.
It's an interesting question, actually, because they've said they don't. They haven't said anything. I get confused between APB and the Old Republic.
Yeah, they haven't said anything for APB either.
APB are going to do weird stuff. The Old Republic, they just haven't said anything.
Okay. It'll be $7.99 a month.
I would think so. Yeah.
Okay. Painted Act asks, why is my microphone so far away?
It's because you're in New York. Yeah. Tom is not with us today because he's seeing a game in New York, which is our next cover. Bastard.
Nanosounds asks, when Steam coming to Mac, and what will I need to upgrade my G5 to play TF2 without crying?
Steam is
another
coming
button
to the Mac,
on the mouse.
But you'll need a new mouse and a PC.
Yeah, you're probably going to need a better processor as well, because, you know.
G5 is quite old now, isn't it?
It's pre-Intel. So I don't know if that's what I don't know if see the thing is.
Let's not give any serious advice to Mac. Let's just suggest that just, they get a PC.
But then we can own them at TS2.
The beta has launched for Steam on Mac, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It hasn't launched. Valve told us about it and stupidly sent their email out to other people who were less trustworthy with the saying, "Please don't tell anyone about this. We don't want anyone to know yet." And the next day, it was up on Reddit. If the election was a game, what kind of game would it be? That's from Smurfy.
It would be, I'd say it would be a game where lots of madmen shout at each other constantly, which is Brothers in Arms.
I think it would be a Democracy 2 created by by Positech or Cliff Harris?
Yeah.
Klifsky.
Yeah. I think it'd be like Playboy the Mansion.
Who, I think it's more like that than
the Playboy the Mansion would be good, actually. God, do you remember that?
No, I don't.
I remember being demoed that by PR at the time. It was a lovely, lovely girl. But it was really weird for her to try to be excited about the fact you could take pictures of naked women in the game. And maybe I'm just a bit repressed about that kind of stuff. It might be true, but...
No, I think I'd be a bit embarrassed as well. Yeah. Just a bit, though. From Meteorical, what game from your past would you want to see updated and re-released? Mine are X-Wing, TIE Fighter, and Terminal Velocity.
I'm going to say XCOM.
Okay.
Mine is probably not that old, but PlanetSide. I would kill for PlanetSide.
That is true, actually. I'd love PlanetSide.
I would.
Man, I'd love PlanetSide too. I'm going to say the Chaos Engine, even though I'm kind of quite happy just playing the Chaos Engine as it is. It would be great to see the Chaos Engine 3.
Yeah, I'd like to see Frontier remade.
Did you ever see, I think someone was trying to make a redo XCOM, and it was called like the Dreamland Chronicles or something, and it was a fully 3D version of the original XCOM idea of like kind of little men running around, but they still managed to keep the destructible terrain that makes XCOM so exciting. Like, XCOM is one of the few games in which if you do strategy, if someone's hiding behind a wall, you just blow the wall up, and that's, you know, it's less about strategy, more like how long does it take you to bring down an entire house. But they managed to do that, but it got canned, and I think that's a real shame.
Let's talk about remake things. The PlanetSide, I remember seeing, I think a Chinese company were trying to remake that entirely, bring that back, but I haven't seen anything about that recently, so I don't know if it actually went anywhere.
We should definitely do something on like the mad world of Chinese games, because they seem to be, you know, like TLBB, and there was that talk of like them just taking PlanetSide whole scale and remaking it.
Yeah.
We'll do something on that.
Hmm. Someone's asking about the subscription model for APB. We don't know, but he's also saying, will there be a PCG gang or whatever?
Fuck yes, yeah. Definitely.
You can have up to between 100 and... it wasn't sure. He said either 100 or 200 people to me when I talked to Dave Jones.
On a server at once?
No, and the server's 100,000 people. The clans are up to 100, 200 people. Okay. So we have plenty of space, and then obviously you'll decamp to a server.
We may need to ask them to up that, because last time... we were limited by spaces. We completely screwed it. So we broke Battlefield Heroes, and we've broken World of Warcraft. We need at least 500.
Oh, I'll get Dave on it.
Can you just let him know?
Yeah, I'll let him know. Any word on... Oh, this is from... I hope this isn't rude, but BJ Rose.
Okay.
Is any word on Red Dead Redemption come to the PC?
That'll come to the PC.
Yeah, Rockstar PR said... I asked them about it, and they said...
Rockstar's articulate response.
I think it didn't they say publicly that it was coming to PC?
They did, and then I think they came back on it, and then it's one of those ones where they haven't said no, but they haven't said anything.
Which means that yes, it will be 6 to 12 months after it comes to the console.
And it'll look a lot better as well.
And it'll run a bit worse.
Yeah.
Is Just Cause 2 the future of sandbox gaming? It's the present of sandbox gaming.
Well, yeah.
It's like... I mean, you know.
What do you want more from it?
I don't know if it's that different from other sandbox games, is it? I mean,
it's just doing stupid things in the big world, really.
I suppose you could argue maybe that the fact that people with modders have taken to it quite so, and probably the proportion of people playing it with mods is higher than maybe any other sandbox, and that the fact you're actually kind of doing stuff
in
the code is quite sandboxy.
Someone said a really interesting thing to me, which was it's like their PC's been upgraded when they played it.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, it looks that good.
I agree with that.
Ooh, done that already. What? Dead air, people. Dead air. Someone talk while I find it.
It is interesting that Just Cause 2 does seem to look quite a bit better than anything else out there at the moment. Yeah. Like, everyone talked about Crysis as being this huge graphical leap, and it struggled to run in a lot of PCs, and a lot of people didn't buy it because of that. Whereas Just Cause 2, it seems like another graphical leap, but there hasn't been any problems with anyone not being able to run it on their PCs.
Just Cause looks better than Crysis. I think Crysis looks a lot better than Just Cause.
I think it's kind of it's a plateau of reasonableness. Like, it seems to run exactly the same, like, really well on the PCs I've seen it run on. I mean, it runs well on Tom's, and Tom's.
You should probably try Crysis on your new PC.
Well, I should do, but I played it on a high spec PC on pretty max settings when reviewed it. But I think maybe it's just that Just Cause 2 focuses on different things. So it's probably got lower res models and stuff like that. But in terms of its skies and its sunsets and its clouds and its rain and its lightning and stuff like that, I appreciate the graphics in it more than I do Crysis.
I'll tell you what I want is that engine used for the next armor.
That would be cool.
It's like playing Fuel, which is a similar kind of hugely open world game. It feels like it's kind of stuff stitched together on the fly, whereas Just Cause feels like it is a world that is always there, and you just happen to be flying over it, surfing on your jet.
In the Flesh asks, what are your opinions, and what is the impact on the average gamer from the government passing the Digital Economy Bill? Has it been passed?
It's still in the wash-up process as we talk about it. It's probably going to pass tomorrow.
The pictures yesterday from the kind of the House of Commons when it was depressing. Being it was about three people there.
I mean, there's so many flaws in the Digital Economy Bill anyway. I don't know if there's any problem specific to gamers other than we are the ones whose lifestyle suffers most if we are disconnected from the internet, I guess. But yeah, you know, if a media company decides you have been pirating, even if you haven't, and you get your three strikes and you're out, then in a PC gamer's world, I guess, you know, you're disconnected from Steam, you're disconnected from the catalogues of PC games that you ever had.
How do they prove that you've been pirating?
I don't know. Shrug. I don't think anyone. Yeah.
You can't prove it now, so.
I mean, the thing is, because, you know, when they used to send out, or when the RIAA used to send out contracts, or send out things suing people for pirating music, and they would get the wrong person or whatever, because IPs aren't a good way to trace individuals. You know, it's problematic, especially when, what's the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which gets used a lot for taking videos down from YouTube and stuff like that. And often it gets used incorrectly, and content which is legitimate to extent. So like, Google deleted a whole bunch of Blogger blogs which were hosting music legally and stuff like that. And so it just seems like it's a disaster. In that respect,
it's such a flawed piece of legislation. It actually makes me really, really angry. And to see something this important, that to put a serious hat on, you know, the country is in a recession, is struggling to find a way out of recession. One of the ways we could get out of recession is converting our economy to being a digital economy in which we reward ideas and content and the rest of it. You know, we need to find a way to reward content creators. But rushing through a piece of legislation that appears to have been paid for by giant media companies. Like, the thing is in it that really got to me was they've got all this stuff against, cutting people off from the internet, cutting the public off. There's also clauses in it that allow giant media companies, any media company, to essentially take photography and just use it and say, oh yeah, we found it. And it's a clause to try and link people to orphaned works, so, you know, a lot of content isn't put out there. But it's so badly worded, it just means, you know, hey, if we see a picture on the internet, we could put that in PC Gamer and say, yeah, we found it. And like, to have that in a bill that's passing through Parliament in the next couple of days, it's madness.
It seems weird as well. I mean, two countries recently, that I think Estonia, I can't remember, Finland possibly, that say internet access now is kind of a fundamental
one
right.
1 megabyte internet access. Yeah, it's fundamental right.
You need to have internet access. I mean, how's that going to sync up with if you've been cut off from the internet? And this,
I helped pay. I donated to the advertising fund to get this spoke off in Parliament. I paid £13.37.
Nice. I think all of us at PC Gamer feel pretty bad about it. I would suggest if you do as well, then write to your MP. Although, presumably, your MP is either being retired or being foisted off by some Tory oik.
I suppose it's right.
Whoa.
Sorry to get a bit.
It bothers me, as Rich says, that it was like three people discussing it. You know, this is quite a big deal, and it's just being rushed through, and it's, you know, betraying our democratic process.
I know, I understand that our local MP is against it, so he gets my vote.
That's it. All the Lib Dems now, I'm going to say.
So, continue.
A while back you asked, this is from Lutman23, a while back you asked for some suggestions for the remaking the PCG site. What's happening with that?
We're working on it. The actual PC Gamer site, like front of it, has changed mainly because I was getting really upset that it didn't look or feel anything like PC Gamer. So we've tried to bring a bit of PC Gamer out to the front. In the meantime, we have a full-time person blogging constantly, and we're basically teaching ourselves how to do that in the world of embargoes and complicated relationships that we live in. And it's sometimes quite difficult. So for us now, with StarCraft and Doctor Who, because we've managed to work that those kind of stories out, we can essentially put anything we want online from those stories. But there may come other times down the line when it's like Battlefield 5 or something that we do the print exclusive and we get that out there. But because of other embargoes, it becomes really difficult for us to put that stuff online. Mm. And it's trying to figure out how that works in the real world that is our major problem at the moment. However, I'm really happy that we've got someone who's just talking about PC games full time on the internet. And it is only going to get bigger and bigger and more interesting. I am actually looking for expert bloggers, actually. It's worth pointing out. If you consider yourself an expert on a game like WoW or StarCraft or, you know, any kind of major PC game, you play a lot, you think you can kind of link us to cool community stuff, drop me an email. I'm interested. Don't necessarily...
You want to give your email out?
Yeah, it's tim.edwards@futurenet.com.
Do you think, from Null H, do you think that DSX 3 will have multiplayer?
Oh, God, it's almost certain, isn't it?
Yeah.
You
just depressed us now.
Thanks, mate. That was really good.
But those glasses, it's going to be amazing with those snappy round glasses. How can it not be good?
You haven't been broken by games yet, have you?
Look, be disappointed, Danny.
The nipples are fairly bad in the trailer.
We've got like 4 or 5 left. Okay. From Jaffo, does Shadow Complex have a release date on the PC?
No, it doesn't actually.
Nah. Was that written by Orson Scott Card?
Yeah, it is. The really right-wing guy.
Yeah. It's a bad game, though. Like, that got
9 out of 10s everywhere.
Yeah.
It's just... I met
the guys who made it, like, years and years and years ago. They made that crazy game where you were a superhero who could move mountains. I can't remember the name. We got Steve Wilms to review it, as all I can remember. It was written by Orson Scott Card as well, and I just discovered they're all...
Advent Rising.
That's it, yeah. I met them. Yes. My first press trip. When I arrived at the airport, the plane had already left.
Right.
The PR wasn't there to take us to the country. We landed in the country and got sent to the wrong hotel.
Nice.
Yeah. I hope not.
Okay, fine.
I'm not going to tell you who the PR was, but I think we can all guess.
Yeah, I can guess.
I'm not speaking those words out loud. From Slane Itara, I created a female shepherd so hot that normal female humans are no match. Is this A, wrong, B, totally the future?
It's totally the future, yeah. And I think we all know your pain.
Well, Futurama told you not to date robots, so...
Look, she's not a robot. She's okay. A fictional construct.
I think this guy's asking the wrong people here, but from Don't Eat Yellow Snow, if you overclockers 1.793 to 4 gigahertz, what happens when it uses it to turbo mode? Does that ramp way past 4 gigahertz?
It goes up to 88 miles an hour and then goes into the future.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the correct answer.
I'm going to pass this one on to Graham.
I would guess the answer is no.
Maybe.
I would think that turbo mode would not work on top of a processor which you've already overclocked.
I'm glad you could understand what I was saying there because I was trying to read this.
Twice the speed.
Well, that's tortoises. We need to bring Adam into the podcast occasionally to talk about hardware.
Yeah, we should.
We can have a series.
Even if turbo mode does increase it past that 4 gigahertz, at that point his computer will burst into flame.
To be honest, though, if something has a turbo mode, then yes, it's going
to... Anything called turbo mode has to be awesome.
Of course,
yeah. I'm shutting Twitter down now. Anyone whose questions I didn't read out, you're all rubbish.
Okay, fine. So that's about it. Mention again that PC Gamer Live is happening tomorrow or today. And you can't get in unless you already have a ticket. If you can get in, see you there. I think we might just do podcasts every 2 weeks now. Might just fuck it and do it. So we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Maybe. That was one of the questions on Twitter, but I didn't think to ask it.
Fine. Now, Graham, you should probably leave because we want to talk about Mass Effect.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Aww. While Graham's doing this, I've only played Mass Effect for an hour, and I don't care about hearing the ending anyway, so I'll be here.
Okay.
I'll be Graham for this.
To be honest, I think it's something you might enjoy.
Try doing a Scottish accent when you're speaking as
well. Oh, hello!
Bye-bye.
Bye. Right, so he's gone. So, that entire sequence is one of the best things I've played in games for about 10 years, and I just wanted to kind of go on and on about it.
Yeah, it's fairly brilliant. I just love the fact that
What
happened, the way it's set up is you gather your team for what they call a suicide mission. You have to go through a wormhole into baddie space and take down the ultimate baddie ship. And they basically set up a series of choose-your-own-adventure-style decisions to decide, A, if you live or die, B, if your team live or die, or C, if your crew live or die.
And you can't keep your finger on the page and go back to it because you didn't mean to do that thing. That's it.
So when you go through, there is... before you go through, you are asked to kind of upgrade your ship, kind of get new weapons, get new shields.
Although you never really told, I think that's probably a failing with you, never really told why you're upgrading your ship. The rest of the thing.
You sure look by now, you've played enough games to know that when you start going, giving yourself your own, things going to get real.
Take everything you need. But
then the next, when you go through, it's about a 10 or 15 minute cutscene to start with, where your decisions or the things you haven't done impacts on what happens. And it's like this just brilliant space battle with Normandy and like some weird kind of crazy eyeball nonsense.
Yeah, this.
And the Reavers as well. And honestly, I was leaping up from my screen just going, spaceships!
your jaw does get slowly more and more kind of dropping towards the ground.
Yeah.
But the final bit, basically, you fight your way through the Reaper, the Reavers from Firefly.
Oh, sorry.
And the Reaper ship, you fight your way through it and get to the very end. And Mass Effect kind of plays it all very straight. It's all kind of quite a next generation-y future where everyone's wearing like space lycra and space everything.
Yeah, I played
it. It's all quite clean and everything. And then you get to the end and they think, what can we have? You know, quite po-faced game, quite serious science-y game. Let's have a massive fucking robot skeleton hanging over you with big laser eyes, just going, rah,
and so,
rah.
So the justification for this is that the baddies in the game are building something out of metal that looks a bit like humans and then filling it with the blood and gore of humans that they've processed from other planets.
Melted humans, feed it.
For no particular reason. And then to kill it, you need to shoot its eyeballs off.
Wow.
It's just properly mad. Like, beyond... I just can't get over how serious and kind of quite po-faced that game can be. And then the switch onto, fuck it, let's just do the robot.
But the science behind everything, I love the first Mass Effect, well, I love them both, but first Mass Effect, the things like, I wasn't really a big fan of the ammo in the second one, but the first one, they had a wedge of a block of solid thing that you shaved bits of ammo off, and that makes sense. Also, spaceships, they haven't got their decks like horizontally, they're vertical, because the gravity counteracts, that makes sense as well. And then they kind of just throw in a massive robot skeleton. Yeah. It's brilliant.
So the other thing to say is that as you're fighting up to this guy, or this giant robot to kill him, before you go into land, you gather your team and you have to make a series of decisions about who does certain jobs. So someone has to go and crawl through some pipes to open some doors. And you say, right, you go. And they basically word it in a way that it appears that that job is certain death.
Mm.
And so you're kind of saying, well, I really like Thane. I don't want him to die. So you kind of send your worst guy or whatever. But then it turns out that it's not actually certain death. It is, if you send someone who's really good at that kind of skill, so if you send like an engineering guy, he'll survive.
Mm.
And they're like, I'm just so gutted that I lost Thane in that mission because I sent him. And like Thane is really fucking cool.
Thane's brilliant.
He's like this kind of reptile assassin dude with eyes that kind of blink sideways.
Yeah, and Vietnam flashbacks every now and again as well.
So. And then there's other stuff. Like you get to, at some point your entire crew is kidnapped and you go in and you meet them in tubes. And if you've hung around for a long time, kind of upgrading your ship and the rest of it, then they get glooped. They just kind of, in front of you, they just get turned into goo.
So
now, like, the secretary, who I spent the entire game trying to figure out if I could bomb, she just got like vaporized in front of me.
I mean, I love that because I was sort of completionist about the first one, kind of mining every planet, and then I didn't touch the actual the place where you have to go, the wormhole thing, until the very last minute. So I went straight through, and then you got Dr. Chakwas, who's been with you since the first game. You got Kelly, the chamber woman thing, whatever her name is, and then some other guy who's trapped in there, and I managed to save all of them, and they came out the tubes, and none of them got glooped on there.
But I sent
in her because I was romancing Tally at the time, and kind of kept her really safe and made sure she wouldn't do anything. But I sat looking at the final screen for about 10 minutes because it says you've got to have someone to come with you to beat the last thing, and I had no idea what the last thing was, obviously the robot skeleton, and then I was trying to work out whether it would be safe to send Tally back to the ship and maybe get shot on the way, or whether it would be safe to keep her next to me, where you'd assume no one would die.
Yeah.
So I sat there and I ended up taking her with me. Remember, the final bit is there's a platform that you fall off, and there's all these kind of really, really kind of dramatic bits. And Tally fell off the platform, and my shepherd, who romanced her throughout the whole thing, grabbed her and pulled her back up. And then she jumped onto the ship at the end. There's like a jumping bit at the last second. She jumped on the ship and she pulled me back aboard. And every possible kind of emotional kind of heart-wrenching cutscene was done with me and her, and it was really good.
There are so, like, pretty much they treat, going into it, all your guys suddenly become like red shirts in Star Trek, don't they?
Anyone can die.
Fuck, they're going to die.
Yeah. They did that at the end of that crazy sci-fi from the guys who made the X-Files, who went left and said, oh, we're going to do a sci-fi thing. And they got cancelled midway through the season. So they just killed everyone off at the end. Mm.
But I am so pleased with how that game turned out. I just think it's fantastic.
Who did you manage to save of the final people? Because
Thane died, but everyone else survived.
So you get the choices. You get to make the choice between the first one. We send the engineer into the duct. I sent Legion, and he did that all right. But then he ended up getting shot because you get one guy to be the squad leader, and you have to supposedly use Garrus or Miranda. And I can't remember, Zaid or something. But I ended up losing Legion and Zaid on that one.
Oh, gutted.
But I survived and saved all the other people as well. I was all right losing the both of those two because I'd done so much first that they turned up so late in the game that I wasn't so fussed about it.
Just brilliant, brilliant. Like, properly hats off to BioWare, they nailed that.
But I think if you come into that without having played Mass Effect 1, you'd have a tough time getting over the fact that they're just so happy to kill off all your players. But then the first one, and we get into the Vermeer where you lose either Caden or Ashley. And then when that happened, it never really happened in a game before where both the characters are taken with me quite regularly, and I just lost one or the other.
So in the first game, they put a situation where you have to choose between quite boring dude or very angry girl.
Yeah, angry racist girl.
Boring dude, surely.
I end up killing the boring dude because I tried to get it on with Ashley.
That's what I mean, kill the boring dude.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Mass Effect 2, brilliant. End of spoilers. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think that's the end of the podcast now.
Yeah.
Next week or next time, we will might talk about spoilers again because I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I'll speak to you a bit. Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.